be over after some
Blog Talk Radio.
In December. They increased 1.9% last month for the biggest rise in 3 months. It was also more than double what analysts were expecting. Florida senators are among those accusing Facebook and Twitter of violating free speech rights. Rick Hochul has more.
Senator Marco Rubio is asking the FCC to investigate the social media companies for censoring a New York Post article about Joe Biden's son's ties to Ukraine. Rubio says the companies are intent on twisting and manipulating America's public square to their liking, and he says this represents a threat to free speech. Senator Rick Scott tweeted, "It's shameful that Twitter and big tech silence conservatives, but allow communist China and Iran to promote their propaganda with no consequences."
You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Hi, this is Lisa Downs, host of Reigniting You, a new show here on KKNW that explores a variety of topics and timely issues for making mid to late career transitions. I'll be here every Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock bringing you guest interviews, career transition advice, and great stories to guide you to what's next in your career and life. Gain a renewed sense of purpose for your next phase with a positive, forward-looking approach. Get ready to be re-energized, recharged, and reignited Wednesdays at 3 o'clock.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your Alternative Talk weather outlook for Friday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies and a few showers at times. High temperatures around 64, 65 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, again with some light rain showers lingering around. Low temperatures down to about 50. For Saturday, mostly cloudy skies and a few sunbreaks. High temperatures around 57. Cloudy skies and rain moving back in for Saturday night. Low temperatures Saturday around 50 to 51. Clouds and the chance of showers for Sunday. Highs around 56.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
The vibration of change. That magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease. From stagnation to forward movement. From old ways of being to new ways of becoming. Yes, it can seem rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, and it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of your inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. Here on the Christine Epchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Are you ready to step into your vibration of change?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150 in the Seattle area and on Transformation Talk Radio around the world. If you're listening after the fact, you might be listening on ChristineEpchurch.com or one of the dozens of podcasts that sends up. But wherever and whenever you're joining us from today, oh my goodness, you're going to be so glad you did. We're having one of my all-time favorite guests who's back. And she has a book that will help transform your life. And I'm not kidding you there. But before I tell you who she is and introduce her, I want to say hello to the people behind the technology, Mr. Benny Mathers at KKNW. Hey, Benny.
Hi there, Christine. Fall. Don't you love it?
Yes, I do. I do. Mm-hmm. It's a time of transformation. It's a time of letting go of the old. It's a time of focusing within and seeing what we want to create next.
Truth. Amen.
Yeah. And hello to Olivia TTR. Thank you for doing your bit.
Oh, good morning, as always.
Yes, thank you. And thank you to Kyle. I often don't get around to mentioning her, but without her, I'd probably have some dead air or something because I don't know if I could talk the whole time myself. Oh, I probably could, but I really like having guests. And I'm so excited about our guest today. Dr. Sue Mortar, and she's been on a couple of times before, and we've always had fascinating conversations, but now she's got a book that will help transform your life. She is an international speaker. She's a master of bioenergetic theory and quantum. She's a quantum field visionary. She utilizes the embodiment, and this is a really important word, the embodiment of high-frequency energy patterns to activate full human potential, and don't we all want that? We want to manifest good health, vibrant living, joyful living, connection with others, love, abundance. And she's got some techniques to help us do exactly that. Through her seminars, retreats, and presentations, she illuminates the relationship of quantum science and energy medicine, elevating human consciousness into life mastery. Dr. Sue is the USA Today best-selling author, number one best-selling LA Times author, and number one Amazon best-selling author of The Energy Codes. I'm never sure if this is backwards or not, but it is a wonderful book, well worth waiting for. And it's called The Energy Codes, the seven-step system to awaken your spirit, heal your body, and live your best life. Through The Energy Codes, Dr. Sue provides techniques to activate untapped energy and neurocircuitry in the body, empower human potential, and become one's true essential self. She's the founder and creator of the globally taught coursework, The Energy Codes, a multi-level body of work on personal and spiritual development. Dr. Sue also created the Body Awake Certified Yoga Program, and she's the co-creator of Bioenergetic Synchronization Technique, BEST. Many of you are familiar with that, I'm sure. She has served on professional licensing boards. Oh, my goodness, there's so many things. She's the host of Gaia TV's Healing Matrix. She's co-host of Your Year of Miracles. She's a certifier of a type of yoga training that she created. So many things. In addition to founding Mortar Health Center in 1987, she's the founder and visionary of the Mortar Institute for Bioenergetics. And, oh, my goodness, there's so many other things, but I don't want to make this conversation any shorter. I tell you, if you want to hear from somebody who has vast knowledge, deep wisdom, and this wonderful way of intertwining the two so we can have practical applications to shift our lives, you want to hear from her today, and I'm really excited to have her here, Dr. Sue Mortar. Hi, Dr. Sue. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm so excited to be here with you. Thank you for all the accolades. My goodness, I better come up with something interesting to say after all that.
I don't think that's going to be a problem.
It's a joy to be back here with you. So thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. You know, I've always found your perspective on the energetics fascinating because, of course, as a healer, I've had my own perspective and perception of the energetics. And one of the things that's been nagging away at me for probably more than a decade is we have this tendency to kind of want to tap into the higher frequency vibration to do what, you know, people think of as the spiritual and intuitive connection. And for me, you know, the inner message I've gotten is we need to not only tap into that light, we need to ground it in our bodies, right? And so, you know, there are various ways to do that, but I've never seen such a great, like, owner's manual of how to do that before your book here. And I'm not just saying that because you happen to be my guest today. I'm really fascinated by this. But before we get into the energy codes, I'd like you to share with our listeners something about your background and your awakening, because it's pretty fascinating.
So I was raised in an environment where natural health care was a way of being. I've never gone to the doctor, even to this day, to get an antibiotic for some ailment that I was having in order to heal. I've grown up and lived my life without taking medications, and so that's one aspect of my understanding that the body has the ability to heal itself if all things are working correctly. My father happened to be an energy medicine pioneer. He was working with how emotions affected the energy flow in the body, affected the nervous system, affected the immune system, affected our ability to heal and repair way back in the 70s. And so I grew up inside of that conversation. When quantum science came onto the picture, it became, you know, just a smorgasbord of ideas and ways that he could implement the things that he was researching. And so I have a background that's just infused in an understanding that the thoughts that we think create a reality that we are then living in, and that will ultimately determine the stress levels that we experience, et cetera. So it's really ironic because as a kid, I was also incredibly shy and withdrawn. My father was this brilliant scientist and teacher, and he had all the answers. And so, you know, I just kind of stood by. And so now the fact that I'm, after I had my awakening about 20 years ago, what happened at that time was because of the stress that I was kind of living in, of suppressing my own voice, et cetera, and trying to overcome my shyness, I sought out meditation for purposes of stress relief. And I instantly started having transcendental experiences, multidimensional experiences. And I had this awakening to the higher self. meaning I could see life from another dimension, another perspective that was so radically different. I devoted my life to trying to figure out how to return to that state and how to embody it and how to integrate what I was finding there. And so 10 years after that is when I wrote the book, The Energy Codes, which is just last year. So the process has been my own codification of how did I learn to return to this exalted state of consciousness and what did I have to do internally to be able to do so. I had to rearrange how I ran energy through my body. I had to rearrange my perception of self and the amount of tension that I carried in my body and the chemistries that then, therefore, were constantly being generated. So a combination of these things became obvious that were necessary in order for me to live in that state and be able to reap the benefits from having these awakenings in meditation. So that's what I put in the book, and that's what I'm traveling the world teaching and sharing now. Not traveling in the last 6 months, but doing lots and lots of interviews and sharing in the ways that we can at this time. So it's been an amazing ride.
And I can't think of a better time for you to have, you know, given us this book, because you lay things out very clearly. And it's you've created it so that if we read the book and we practice some of the techniques, we're going to be learning some of the things that you teach in your seminars. And, you know, I know based on people who've attended your seminars that they're life-changing. But this book, I believe, is also life-changing. I understand a lot about energy myself, and yet it was eye-opening for me in various ways. And I've had fun practicing some of the techniques. So I'm kind of curious. We sort of say, okay, yes, we manifest our reality by our thoughts and our emotions and et cetera, and it's kind of this ethereal sort of thing. And people will do affirmations, visualizations, and still remain stuck. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
You know, Christine, it's not about the technique as much as it is about the come from, the person who's using the technique. What is their come from? What is their basic bottom line disposition? Because someone can be caught up in their performing personality or their protective personality, the ego, the false self, some compromised version of themselves that is so busy trying to fit in and trying to belong and trying to become a good person and do the right thing and all of those things that we get caught up in. And rather than learning how to truly, authentically drop inside of ourselves and be our authentic, true version of self, of soul. And so because we don't have that distinction down, we utilize techniques that we learn from so many different areas of life, and all of which are wonderful. But if the person that is using the technique is coming from a place of lack and undeservedness, and inadequacy or some sense of insufficiency, and all of that is a lie, but it might as well be true if we feel that way, and because then we interact with the world that way, and the things that are a reflection of that show up to validate it. So I truly feel that the single most important thing that an individual can learn to do is to come back home to the self. The true self. The soul speaks to the body, and the body speaks to the mind, and the mind doesn't listen. In other words, when we get a knot in our stomach or a lump in our throat or tightness in our chest, there's a reason for that. And it's the soul saying, hey, this is not in alignment for you. But we override it, thinking that we're supposed to drive and push ourselves into accepting or being a part of or belonging or participating in something, when all the while we are tremendous receptor sites that are able to sense and feel, is this loving? Is this true? Is this authentic? Or is it not? And when it isn't, we have reactions, physiological reactions to that. And so it's a matter of learning to honor what's in here, honor what we're actually feeling and what's going on inside, and getting the mind to pay attention to the body, because the body is reflecting the language of the soul. So our true self is speaking. It's not speaking in words. It's speaking in energetic impressions all the time. And if we can, and we can, if we can train our minds to listen to that language and learn that language, then we start aligning this mind and body and spirit, or mind and body and soul, or mind and body and breath, which is how I utilize it. and they start serving one another in an integrated kind of way. And the soul supports the mind, and the mind then relaxes because the mind has been being asked to do something it's not really built to do. It's been being asked to run our lives, and it's not supposed to do that. It's supposed to serve the soul. You know, let me say that Einstein said that we were given this beautiful gift of the intuitive, and we were given this rational mind to act as its loyal servant.
Uh-huh.
And we've created a culture that honors the servant instead of the gift.
Yeah.
And so this is our dilemma. We're stuck in our heads thinking about who we should be being rather than actually paying attention to what is authentic and real and true for us. And so our techniques don't work under those circumstances as much as they could.
Sure. And, you know, this concept of paying attention to and living our authentic self, that sounds great. But there's deep vulnerability that comes with that. And you say in your book, your vulnerability is your power. Why is that?
Yes, it so is. Because the mind is, you know, think of it this way. We land here and we kind of splat. It's kind of a rough landing. And our mind goes one way, our body goes another way, and our breath goes another way. And they're just kind of not really working together. And then we get associated and attached and identified as the mind, because the mind starts looking around to see if we're safe, to see what's going on, and to see what it needs to do in order to get us through life. And so we get used to doing that, and it works. Except that we become enmeshed with it, and we think that's the only option that there is. And so we think we are the mind, and because we've been so, you know, linked up with it from the beginning. And so as we begin to move this orientation back into the soulful self, and that has a mind instead of a mind that has a spirit, and we flip that, okay? We flip it, and then we start living as the soul that has a mind and a body instead of living as a mind that has a body and a spirit that's going to go to heaven someday or what have you. And it's the way we have this in the wrong proportion. And so as we begin to rearrange that proportion, it takes vulnerability to release our attachment from the mind. It takes authenticity, and it feels like vulnerability. It feels like, to the mind, it feels like, oh my gosh, I'm not in control. I don't know what to do next. I don't know what's going to be next. And so because I can't predict it, I'm not so sure that's a good idea. And it feels really frightening. But I assure you that vulnerability is actually authenticity. It's just that the mind can't interpret it that way because the mind is so used to driving and controlling and making sure everything goes in a way that it can predict will keep you safe. So when we are starting to consider not following what the mind would do in this moment, it's very intimidating because we don't know how to predict the future. But, I'm going to ask this question. How many of us predicted 6 months ago that we'd be living this life, right? So we don't have any control over it anyway. We just think we do, right? So we have no way of knowing what's coming next. It's just that we kind of trick ourselves into thinking that we do, so we calm down. Uh-huh. So what I know for sure is that when the mind starts to connect with the deep, soulful essence of who we really are, our authenticity, when it starts to find how powerful it is to just say what you feel, being willing to accept whatever comes with you saying what you honestly feel, feels vulnerable. But when you are willing to do that, it unattaches you from the conditions that the mind requires in order for safety and well-being to exist. And you peel yourself off and you realize, I'm actually not only still okay, I'm actually better than I was when I was hooked up to all that story that I was running and wasting all that energy on maintaining the story and managing it.
Mm-hmm.
So while it feels frightening, it's a gateway into a huge version of ourself that is eternal, that is vast, that is immense, that is made of the cosmos, that has access to universal intelligence. It is self-repairing and self-generating and self-immune and self-referencing. It is a totally different world. But until the mind is like ready for that, it's just barreling down the road, doing things the way we think we're supposed to, until we can't.
And I think about how some of us could feel this stuff coming, and it's some people are tuned in, but that doesn't come from the mind. And in fact, managing it doesn't come from the mind either. It's got to be connected to the soulful guidance, or else we get it wrong. You know, I mean. When we don't listen to the gut feeling, when we don't listen to the downloads, then, we're in worse shape.
Yes. there are 11 billion bits of information that are bombarding our gut every millisecond. These bits of information don't come to our head.
Uh-huh.
They come to our gut.
Yes.
And we're supposed to be making decisions based on that information, but in order to do so, we have to be connected to it. We have to be paying attention to it. We have to be feeling into it and learning how to sense those little nuances that cause us to clamp down or to shudder or to quiver and not question them or doubt them or shove them away because they're getting in our way. We have to learn to listen to them because they are actually activations of this deep core wisdom that we're made of. But no one taught us about that, so we think that it's anxiety. It's the same kind of flutter that's actually giving you an impression. It rises through the body in a shuddering kind of way sometimes, and we mistake that for anxiousness. And so we take something to cover up our anxiety, or we just suppress it down, or we go work out, or we go get busy doing something so that we don't feel. And we're creating a train wreck for ourselves. And so there are ways that we can learn to begin to feel and to begin to sense and perceive and integrate and interpret these 11 billion bits of information in an accurate fashion. The body is built to do that. But when we're living only in our heads, the body doesn't get to act like this filtering system that it is designed to be, that filters these 11 billion bits of information and translates them into images and impressions and inspirations and ideas. But if we're only living in our heads, we're looking around for safety and we're overriding this whole mechanism that's happening right underneath our noses, right down in here in the heart and beneath the heart and the solar plexus and beneath the navel and the deep core wisdom centers of our system. There is a systematic way that this whole being is trying to translate, and we just don't let it because we're just outrunning our fear. And creating all kinds of strategies for being safe. And
okay, so you said the F word, fear. And I think about our current times right now and how people are inundated with fear-based messages. And before we get into the actual energy codes, I'm curious about your perspective of how we can handle, mitigate, have a relationship with other people's fear that's getting projected onto our lives?
Yeah, great question. You know, I think it's a very valuable time in humanity's life experience right now that we're able to unattach from what's going on in the outer world because it's so out of balance. It's so polarized. It's so dualistic and not holistic. And so when we see that, I feel that it is very important to bring our attention right on, and this is one of the simple techniques that I bring into the picture, come on to the self, bring your energy on to, I call it subject versus object versus, you know, subject. Come on to the self with your energy. Just pull yourself off of the TV. I'm not saying turn the TV off. I'm not saying don't listen. I'm saying gather yourself while you're in the face of this conversation that's going on out there. Gather yourself and quicken. Because when you gather and concentrate your energy in your own central core channel, what begins to happen is your own subconscious starts to get a sense of self that feels that it can feel and sense. And it begins to be comfortable and comforted by a stronger sense of self. And when we have a strong sense of self, we can see what's going on out there and know, well, that's not true. I can feel it's not true. I can see it in his eyes, or I can see what they're saying, or I can see this happening. It's a drama, and it's a movie, and it's actually allowing me to come out of the movie and recognize what quantum science is trying to show us, which is that we are all projecting onto a movie screen and then walking into the movie so that we can experience what it is that we're doing with our consciousness, so that we can get to know how we're doing at translating universal goodness into a life experience. And if our movie isn't feeling so good, it's because we're not projecting very accurately. And the only reason that we would not be able to do that is if we're too splatted and dispersed and caught up in the drama out there. So gathering oneself back onto the core, in a moment when you're inundated with something that is fear-based, something that is you know, being projected onto you for purposes of control, because sure. they're so in their fear that that's the only defense that they come up with to survive. So somebody has to stop that game. And as we do, we come onto the self, we start breathing in what I call up and down this central channel, which allows us to connect lots of different levels of our own consciousness all at the same time. And now we're empowered to just be present rather than having to react or having to assume that it is, you know, going to affect me or that it's relevant to me, rather than being, you know, just pulled into that. I can be anchored and stationed as my own individual ray of intelligence that, that has an opportunity to create its own life experience, regardless of what's going on in my external environment.
So, in other words, even though we're a part of this collective movie, so to speak, that we can create our own personal movies in spite of or in collaboration of either way with the collective.
Yes, we can each walk through the same room and have different experiences based upon our come from, based upon what we have gathered and the amount of robust energy that is flowing through our own central channel. Based upon that, we are able to generate our own experience. And when, if I'm generating a peaceful experience in, even in a tumultuous time, people are attracted to my peaceful experience because my interactions with them are peaceful. No matter what they're going through, it's like, hey, you know, here's what's real. And if I'm coming from this place of holism where I am grounded and integrated and breathing in a way that it's allowing this whole universal truth to work through my system, then somebody is going to want to come and be in that area, in that energy. And someone else is going to want to be in that energy, and someone else, and someone else. And so pretty soon I've collected similar vibrations around me, and I'm having an entirely different life experience than when I was in my head, constantly afraid and biting into the drama and getting into the gossip of it all and existing in that reality. So each of us have our own ability to interpret what is going on in our own way. And what I want people to learn is how to build the circuitry to be able to interpret things from a more comprehensive perspective rather than getting caught up in some drama that gets pitched my way because someone has an agenda in mind.
Yes, yes. This is fascinating. We're going to talk about how to realign our circuitry. We're going to go to a quick break, but stay tuned for more with the wonderful Dr. Sue Morter here in just a few moments.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there. But when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Are you meeting your sales goals? Or maybe your business plan could use a dose of the divine. Tune in to Divinely Driven Results with faith-based business coach Elise Smith on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Coach Elise Smith helps listeners get unstuck from their business plateau and become empowered through divine guidance. Build up belief in yourself and your dreams, and learn business strategies that work for you for real lasting results. Learn more by visiting www.DivinelyDrivenResults.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150 in the Seattle area and on Transformation Talk Radio around the world. And by the way, we're also on Facebook Live on my professional page, so you can watch the video there, and I will reshare it on my Facebook page after the fact. Okay, we are having a conversation today with Dr. Sue Morter. She is the author of The Energy Codes, the seven-step system to awaken your spirit, heal your body, and live your best life. Sue, I'm fascinated with your approach to embodying the soul, essentially, and to use the body to be communicating with the soul, to be communicating with what's in alignment and what's not. I know that you use some yoga techniques, but you've got some other techniques that aren't yoga-based to help us to clear, to help us connect. Can you share with our listeners how you came up with some of those?
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier, I was raised in an energy medicine environment. And so there was a technique that my father was traveling and teaching other doctors around the world that were natural health care practitioners, how to work with moving energy in the body for people. And then I always wanted him to develop a self-administered version of it because I wanted people to be self-empowered rather than having to go to another practitioner. And so after many, many years, he and I, after I had graduated and opened my own clinic and working with my own patients, I was like, look, Dad, this is what's got to happen. And so Here's what I've found and put together, and he brought some things to it. And so we co-created a self-administered version of that. It's called Best Release. And it is in the book. It teaches people how to do that. And that's one technique that allows people to get underneath the story and work with the energy behind the scenes that is actually causing the story to unfold in their lives the way that it is, or causing their reaction to the circumstances. And oftentimes it is so unrelated to what they were thinking the issue was involved in some situation. They're able to find out what the real issue is and get to the cause rather than treating the symptoms that our conscious mind comes up with. So most of the techniques that I'm working with are tapping the subconscious and allowing the subconscious to speak, learning the language of how we can listen to the subconscious and bring it up to a conscious level, because that's really the purpose of our life, is to become more conscious, which means we take stuff from our subconscious and pull it up to the conscious level, and then we are increasing our level of consciousness. That's what's going on, as people don't really realize. So I also utilize a lot of breathing techniques and also just learning how to work with the energy when someone's sitting at their computer or driving down the road or, you know, working, doing the dishes. It doesn't matter. We don't have to set an hour aside every day to work with energies in order to self-heal. So many, many different ways that we can approach working with the energy. It's basically important to realize that everything in the material world is energy. Everything is energy, and including us. And so
if we can learn to move the energy and work the energy in our lives on a physical level, it begins to outpicture into our outer world in accordance with what's happening in here. Our outer world is a reflection of what's going on in our inner world. So if we can move the energy in our inner world, it will move the energy in our outer world as well. You know, we all know that our relationships are a reflection of what's going on in here. What parts of me are in relationship with other parts of me in a successful manner, and what parts of me are dissing parts of me, throwing parts of me under the bus, and that those kinds of things are going to have to outpicture in my life so that I can see what I do. And you know, we can see out there more easily than we can see in here. So the key is, let's turn our attention inward and effectively learn how to sense and feel these energies that are trying to show the way, but we're never taught how to hear it.
So I know that you've got many, many examples of people who have either, you know, come into your clinic, or they have come to one of your workshops, and they've transformed their lives. I know that, you know, you say that we should detach from our personal stories and pay attention to the physicality of it and the energy of it. But I know that people love stories, so can you share some of the so-called success stories?
Oh, success stories, testimonials of what people have been experiencing. Oh, my gosh. So people are changing. They're coming off of medications that they've been on for 20 years. Uh-huh. There's a woman that comes to mind that had migraine headaches for 28 years who hasn't had a migraine headache since she started working with these techniques, and it stopped. She was having migraine headaches like 4 or 5 days a week.
Wow.
Years and years and years. Just horrible. And hasn't had that. We have people that are changing their amounts of insulin that are required. People whose eye prescriptions of eyeglasses are changing. We have, you know, just all kinds of pain patterns that are disappearing with simple breathing techniques through the body. We learn how to kind of strip the energy and move the energy through the body, and stiff joints and inflamed areas become mobile and strong and flexible and pliable, all because of the energy moving. Another thing that happens that is so beautiful is that people start to have a version of themselves become available that they never knew, that is strong and clear and vulnerable and available all at the same time, that they recognize that there's not this either or way of living that they have to be in order to make their life work. They don't have to always have the answer and just, you know, make it happen. And, sure. And at the same time, they're not becoming, you know, too pliable and malleable that they become taken advantage of like a doormat or anything like that. So in response to that, of course, their relationships are changing. Their esteem is changing at work, where they're able to speak into things that they used to just get, you know, bowled over by. And, you know, it ends up speaking to every aspect of life when someone's energy begins to align. We have healings that happen from circumstances that are seemingly nearly unhealable that just transform as all of our pieces and parts start working together again.
Yeah. And, you know, from early on, from my own healing decades ago, from lymphoma without any medical treatment to, you know, facilitating healings for others, one of the things that's become so clear to me is that the truest healing is one in which we begin to align with ourselves. It relates to quality of life. It relates to trusting ourselves. And yes, having symptoms go away is wonderful. And yet there's something deeper that we yearn to heal into. And I think that has to do with this soulful self that you talk about and that alignment.
Yes. It's learning to live as the soul, not just learn to communicate or connect with the soul. The real quantum flip is that. I speak about this in the book. The quantum flip is I first recognize that I need to connect with the soul if I really want my life to go better. Instead of trying to drive this all with my mind, I need to get messages from the soul in order to make better choices and decisions and stay connected to the self and honor myself. I need to listen to the soul.
And that's a beautiful moment in someone's life when they really get that on a felt sense that that's a value. It's important and it's valuable and I can do it and I'm going to. When someone hits that moment in their lives change. However, there's even more. There's so much more available to someone if they will just go a little further. And that is not to remain identified as the mind that is connecting with the soul and listening to the soul and being guided by the soul. When people say, I'm guided by my soul, it's like, I'm so happy for that because that's better than not being guided by your soul. But there's more in store for you that one day will happen. And I don't want it to be in the last 5 minutes of your life, but it will happen then if it doesn't happen sooner. And that is that you realize that separation was never supposed to happen. I was never supposed to be separate from the soul and listening to it. I was supposed to always remain identified as the soul because that is the truth of who I am. I am the soul. So I am a soul that has a mind and I have to train my mind to find me and to voice me. I have to find my mind to find, I have to train my mind to find me and put a voice to me and to speak me so that I have a life that I came here to live, that I, as the soul, came here to have a life experience. But I, as the soul, have been put in a box and shoved over here, and the mind is over here trying to do what it thinks it's supposed to do to make life work. And when it gets in trouble, it starts asking me questions. But it doesn't get to drive the bus, and I'm not supposed to think that it's in charge anymore. So I have to surrender my mind into my own heart and into my own soul and find my own authentic voice, and then they merge. When I merge there, now I'm living, I can live as the soul, and I find my mind stepping aside in all of its thinking ways, and all it does instead is kicks in its observing skills so that it can sense and feel what it is that I am ready to do next. And it stewards that. It makes way for that. So that'll translate in real life terms, like you're sitting in a meeting and somebody says, do you want to do this? Are you up for this? Or hands me an assignment. And if it's something that no is a no, we'll find no thank you coming out of our mouths and coming up with another solution instead of something, you know, happening in our lives that we really don't want to have happen. We really don't want to do. And being compromised day after day after day like that. So it translates in relationship to being able to say, here's what I'm feeling, and I really want us to share this kind of a thing, and to lead the way by example instead of wanting someone else to do it for us or those kinds of things. So all kinds of transformations happen in our lives when we make that quantum flip where we're living as the soul. We cannot shut down our true destiny. We're just going to choose and walk toward it, kind of come what may, without being reckless and, you know, shaking down the house. It just allows us to have what we would call courage, but it doesn't feel like we're having to be brave.
Oh, I love that. Say that again.
Well, it allows us to act as if we have what we would call courage, but it doesn't feel like I just have to be brave to do this. It's just what I do. I'm doing this because that's what the soul would do. So that's what happens. And instead of the mind altering it, shutting it down, editing, you know, and compartmentalizing the way that the mind does.
Yeah. For some reason, how you're talking about the soul in relationship to the mind, it reminds me, I've talked to several people who've taken ayahuasca. And at least a couple of them have shifted their perspective. They thought, okay, well, I'm here in human form to learn some things. And, you know, I want to be able to reach up and connect with my soul and get guidance like that. And they say after the ayahuasca, it's like, no, the soul has yearned for this. This is the big deal, being in human form. And it's like this shift in perspective that I think is akin to what you've been saying as well.
Absolutely. We are here for a reason. And the fact that anyone would think that I want to leave or I want to go somewhere else or I need to go get something else is a byproduct of being identified as the mind. The mind always thinks that something is missing.
The mind will always think that something needs to be better. It's based in duality, and therefore it judges and it makes distinctions based upon